there's no introduction that really is needed here. I have a special guest, as you can see. Mark Hamill has decided to join us on this wonderful Friday, and I am really excited to turn it over to Mr. Hamill.
How many of you had Mark Hamill lead the press briefing on your bingo card? Hands? Yeah, me either. And look, I just got to meet the president, and he gave me these aviator glasses.
Oh, yeah. What a treasure.
I love the merch. Love it all. But listen, I just wanted to say I was honored to be asked to come to the White House to meet the president. The most legislatively successful president in my lifetime. And, you know, I don't have to go through the list, the bipartisan infrastructure law, the PACT Act, the CHIPS Act, all of that, inflation, 15 million jobs. Look, it's all good. I mean, I was really thrilled to meet the entire staff because, you know, it's not just one person. It's like a composite endeavor. And all these people, my goodness, you know, I mean, I have no idea. I had no idea just what went into what is on his plate on a daily basis. So that's pretty much it. I'm open to questions, although no Star Wars questions, please. But I want to say once again how grateful I am, and it just shows you that one person can be so influential and so positive in our lives, and again, thank you so much. And Peter Baker, I loved your book.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to the next episode of the Paranormal Patriot. You are listening to your host, who is always wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez, and the first audio clip. Tell me you're in panic mode without telling me you're in panic mode. Jobs report just came out. Horrific jobs report. Inflation report came out. Inflation is on the rise again. The Fed stands pat. Not touching interest rates. They were supposed to go down. We were supposed to get 6 decreases on the interest rates. Haven't had one. The chaos on America's campuses. These guys are running out of options. So what do? Let's bring Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill. Really? When is the last time anybody has heard anything from Mark Hamill? Except his tweet on X that said, Joe Biden is the best president ever, period. I mean, literally, aside from being Luke Skywalker and the voice of, I think it was the Joker in the Batman animated cartoons, what has he done? But that doesn't matter, okay? This is a complete panic mode. Oh my God, we're tanking. What we got it. This is a complete diversion. They know they are in trouble. So let's bring out Mark Hamill. Let's have Mark Hamill tell everybody how great Joe Biden is. Did you notice in that clip? He said, oh, he's doing great. Inflation, jobs, 15 million jobs. I don't think he was supposed to say inflation because inflation is going back up. So Joe Biden, the Biden administration, the Obama administration, whatever you want to call it, the Democrats in general, know they've got a huge problem on their hands. They know nobody likes Biden. They're going to have a hard time. This is them saying, I don't know if we can cheat this much. So they're just pulling out all the stops. So I thought that was hilarious. I saw this clip and I'm like, are you kidding me? Really, Mark Hamill, that's the best you could do? And they asked him. It wasn't like Mark Hamill said, hey, you know, I would love to do a press conference. They contacted him, said, hey, Mark Hamill, you want to do a press conference with us? Kind of deflect some of the bad news? Sure, why not? I'll be a show for your communist socialist agenda. So That's how we're going to start the show this week. Of course, this week I'm going to talk about the campus protests. And I'm not even going to call them protests because they're not. They're not. We'll get into that. And then thankfully, I've got a couple paranormal subjects. I've got an incident in a Michigan air show. I've got a first-time listener listen to the show a little while back, and she lives in Michigan and had a dogman encounter, and she sent it to me. So I'm going to give you that encounter. And then we're going to talk about Russia and Canada. What are they doing? Because there's two different things that are going on there. Why do you think? You got to listen to find out. So let's start the show off with this. You know I have to talk about it. We've got these morons. I mean, these children on these college campuses, literally, it's the summer of love 2020. Now, here's the thing. In 2020, in the summer of 2020, we had the quote-unquote summer of love where there were mostly peaceful protests as a building behind the reporter was burning. But when did that start? That started in May of 2020. When did these college protests start? May of 2020. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that this is not a grassroots effort. This is not a bunch of college kids who care deeply about this topic getting together and trying to make a difference. No, this is a Soros-provided diversion. Don't look at anything. Watch what's going on here. We'll distract you with this. And they are. I mean, it's working. But here's the thing. These kids are taking over. They're taking over the campus. They're taking over entire halls. They're camping out on the lawn. Everybody has the same damn tent. Everybody has the same damn sign. They're not homemade signs. They're printed ahead of time. So this is obviously, and I'm assuming it's going to be a George Soros-funded endeavor, because we know how lovely that gentleman is. I'm not even going to call him a gentleman, that idiot, asshole, demon. Call him what you want. But it's funded by George Soros, Klaus Schwab, you name it. This is not a grassroots effort. And the thing is, half of these kids, if not over half, are not even students. They're just paid protesters is essentially what they are. Well, these protests have gone a little too far. They're now, and who would have thought Southern frat boys, Southern fraternity boys would be the heroes? But these are the ones like at University of Louisiana. They are drowning these protesters out. These protesters are doing their stupid little chants. Well, the Southern fraternity boys, they're out there singing this national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, playing patriotic music. I hate Bruce Springsteen, but they were playing Born in the USA. If you know what the music or the words are, has anybody ever listened to the words of the song? Listen to it. It's really not what you think it's about, but it's an anthem. You know, it's a patriotic anthem. So they're drowning these idiots out. Good job. Now, here's the thing. So obviously, every one of these people are, well, we'll just say 90%, 99% of these people range on the left side of things. And remember how the Republicans and the MAGA conservatives, we are the racists, we are the fascists, we are the anti-Semites. Well, we've all seen the videos of the Jewish student at UCLA trying to get to class, and these morons are blocking him from going to class because he's Jewish. That's kind of anti-Semitic. There's videos of black kids who have no part in this. They're being blocked from going to class. Now, let me tell you, these kids are paying the same, if not more, in tuition than these morons who are out protesting. Now, my first question, why are they not in class? How are they still passing their classes? I can tell you why. Because the teachers are leftist, socialist, communists as well, and I'm sure they're getting extra credit by being out there and causing havoc. But we are the racists. We are the fascists, even though they're the ones that are blocking these these Jewish, these black kids from going to class. These kids don't want anything to do with it. They just want to go to class. That's what they're there for. They're not there to cause havoc. And where are the university presidents? Where are they? They are making a laughingstock of their campus. Absolutely making a laughingstock of it, because I wouldn't send my kids there. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of people out there that are looking at this going, if this is how that campus, if that college, this is how that university is going to act, you're not going there. Columbia, UCLA, University of Michigan, who I love the University of Michigan sports teams, can't stand the liberal aspect of that college, and it's getting worse. Surprisingly, we don't hear anything from Michigan State. They might be too busy burning couches. We all have our faults. But the fact remains is the universities are doing nothing. Well, they weren't doing anything. Then they realized, geez, oh, Pete, we have let this thing go way too far. These idiots are taking over whole halls. Hamilton Hall, I believe it was at Columbia University, or maybe it was Portland State University. They took it over. Just like they took over the cop shop, the police station in Portland during the Summer of Love. It's the same. They're basically rewriting the playbook using the same rules. It's planned. So they're taking over these halls. And, they don't have any food, so they're getting people or food delivered to them. People are bringing them food left and right. Where is that coming from? I get it. There's probably some people donating, but they're not donating to everybody. Where'd the bricks come from? Where'd the tents come from? They're already there when they get there. It's just, again, just like the Summer of Love. 2020, the summer of 2020, remember the bricks that were on the corners just dropped off? Oh, by the way, there's a riot there that night. Nobody's asking questions. Who provided this stuff? Who provided the tents? They're all the same. They've got green covers on them. They're all the same. And they won't, they're not going to show their face, which is great, because now the police are getting involved. And the police, oh, no. They want nothing to do with these kids. They're pulling down the Palestinian flag. I saw a cop throw it on the ground, spit on it. Give that guy a promotion. He is one person who is taking his job and doing it well. Your job is to protect and serve. You are protecting and serving the citizens of this country, the United States. You're not protecting and serving, as far as I'm concerned, the treasonous bastards at these colleges. And why do I call them treasonous bastards? Because after the cops came in and they took these, I mean, can't even call them protesters, these idiots away in handcuffs, made them show their face, and it was great because people didn't want to show their face. They knew. They asked somebody, just take your mask off. No, I don't want anybody to know who I am because I don't want them to know I was doing this. Well, you should have thought about that beforehand because now the consequences set in. Okay? But they get into these halls and they're finding these pamphlets and in this propaganda, infatada, death to America. And that's what these idiots are chanting, death to America. I'm sorry. Is that not a terrorist threat? Do we not have hate crimes? Do we not have terrorist crimes here? That is a direct threat against this country. Death to America. And this is who the left are applauding. And where's Joe Biden? Joe Biden, it took Joe Biden 10 days to make a statement. He made a 3-minute statement, walked off the stage, didn't answer any questions. The White House gave just a blanket statement that wasn't from Joe, because Joe's in a no-win situation. Joe and the Democrats are in a no-win situation. If they give in and call out Israel for what they are, he loses all the Jewish vote. If he calls out the Gazans, he loses all these freaking idiot votes. They're in a no-win situation, so they put out a blanket, just a vague press release, basically saying, while we don't necessarily support these protests, we understand they have a right to do that under the First Amendment. Now, when did the Democrats ever care about the First Amendment? Remember, these are the people that are trying to censor X. They're trying to censor you and I. These are the people that during the COVID pandemic, if you gave out any misinformation about COVID or the vaccine, which we all know how that went, you were part of the problem. You need to be silenced. Now we care about the First Amendment, but the problem is they're not just exercising the First Amendment. Listen, you want to sit there and you want to stand on your college courtyard, whatever you want, and you want to start screaming, free Gaza, you have every right to do so. And I will give you that right, and I will applaud you for that right. However, when you start physically and verbally assaulting people that don't have your values, when you are going in and taking things that are not yours, Hamilton Hall, and then you are resisting arrest, assaulting an officer, that's not freedom of speech. That's breaking the law. Add to it death to America chants. In my book, well, that's a terrorist threat. But no, we are more concerned about arresting a grandmother who was sitting on the steps of the Capitol on January 6th praying. She is the bigger threat than these idiots on campus. But now, I want to play for you a clip. It's like a 2-minute, 30-second clip. This is a student at Arizona State University that, well, she found out that you F around, you find out. Listen to this.
I mean, I'm a little disappointed. I'm being restricted from a lot of things right now, that I didn't expect to be, for standing up for something that I believe in. You know, I have family coming in who I have to let them know to, you know, not come to my graduation ceremonies. I am glad that there is a guarantee that my courses will be taken care of, so I don't have to worry necessarily about my graduation requirements and the fact that I will earn my degree as I have spent the past 4 years doing. But I'm just disappointed. I mean, I'm a 2020 high school grad, so I wasn't able to walk then. And so, you know, here it is. I'm not able to walk now.
So honestly, whose fault is this? It's not my fault. It's not the police's. It's not Donald Trump's fault. It's not the police's fault. It's not the president of the University of Arizona State University. The fault lies in just you. That's partly what's wrong with this generation that we're talking about here. There's no responsibility. There's no accountability. It's somebody else's fault. She's disappointed that she can't graduate. Don't do stupid things. Personally, yes, you've took those credits. You took those classes. You passed them. Keep them. Don't care. You will not graduate from Arizona State University because you are being expelled. Every single student that caused chaos. Now, listen, if you were just peacefully protesting, that is your right. Do it. Go. Leave them alone. But those that were taking over halls, those that were verbally and physically assaulting people, those that were assaulting cops, those that were chanting death to America and calling for infatada, those kids, expel them right now. If they are here on a student visa, the visa gets revoked. Send them back to their country right now. No questions. None. But you want to know the bad part about this? You want to know the absolute sad truth about this? Nothing's going to happen to them. Just like in 2020. How many people did you hear of that were arrested and charged? They may have arrested them. They arrested a bunch of people here. How many of these people are going to get charged and serve time? What I would like to see, let's put them in jail and let them rot there for 2 to 3 years like these January 6th protesters. What the January 6th protesters did was a million times less destructive than what these idiots on these college campuses did. We've seen the tapes. We've seen the Capitol Police escorting these people around. I mean, they're walking between the red velvet ropes. It was like a tour. These idiots actually caused destruction. Let's have them, let's arrest them, let's throw them in prison, let's throw them in jail, wherever the J6 are, I believe they're in jail, and let's let them rot for a couple of years. Let's not give them their due process. Let's treat them. Let's do that. Let's treat them like the January 6th protesters. Won't happen. A, because the Democrats own this country. And the reason why is because we have far too many Republicans that don't have a backbone that are bought and sold. It's a sad day. I mean, I'm looking at all this, and I wasn't alive in 68 for the college uprisings for the Vietnam War. I wasn't alive then. But I like history, and I've seen the videos. I've watched the documentaries, and this is an exact... I mean, it reminds me of this so much. However, times are different right now. I think this might escalate a little more. This is... It's not a good look for the Biden administration. They're going to do anything they can to try and deflect that, and apparently that includes putting Mark Hamill... Getting Mark Hamill to do a press conference. I mean, come on. I guess he couldn't be any worse than KJP. But, I forgot this. So, I'm going to give you a couple figures here. And I want this to stop, too. The following are federal funding dollars going to universities in 2023. Columbia, $1.2 billion. Penn, $955.6 million. New York University, $805.5 million. Yale, $776.8 million. Cornell, $736.2 million. Harvard, $676.1 million. University of Texas, Austin, which is a huge liberal Democrat stronghold, $645 million. Berkeley, $451.4 million. Princeton, $403 million. George Washington University, $200.2 million. So first off, who's funding these universities? You and I. How much say do we have what's being indoctrinated into these kids at these universities? None. We have no say. Therefore, I don't want my tax dollars going to these universities, especially Columbia, because this was the big one, Portland State University, UCLA, University of Michigan. Stop the funding right now. Donald Trump, if you get into office in November, after you reopen our energy pipeline, start the deportations of illegal immigrants, stop the funding of these public universities. I don't want to pay for them anymore. And this should piss you off because your tax money, which you have no say where it's going, is going to these universities to indoctrinate these children, and that's what they are, children, in communist manifestos. And then it's going to Ukraine. And then it's going here. Then it's going here. We have the bad part is none of it's going here. None of it's going to America. None of it is benefiting us in any way, shape, or form. That needs to stop. Now, I just saw a video of the University of Michigan graduation ceremony, and these idiots are going up there and walking around with the flags. Get them out of there. That is not the time or the place. These children bother me because they think they're being so self-righteous. Look at me. I'm standing for a cause. No. You're brainwashed, and you look like an idiot. Do you know how stupid these people look walking through a graduation ceremony with a Palestinian flag chanting Free Gaza? It's horrible. Nobody wants it. You could hear everybody in the background as these people are walking through there. F you, get the F out of here. They were tired of it. But these self-righteous, indignant do-gooders, they think they are, they don't care. because they're so damn brainwashed by these college professors and their high school teachers. They have no chance. Until they get out of school and actually see what it's like in the real world, they don't have a chance. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little paranormal, and then we're going to end the show with something odd going on in Russia and Canada. So what I need you to do, sit back, relax, open that mind. You're listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
You're running thirst through your head, cause you've been around, babe. You've been around for a while. I'm trying to wake myself, cause I know that you're her, the girl with the freckled smile. I think I loved you before, cause I don't second guess and I don't question it at all. I think I've loved you before, cause I don't care, I don't care that I'm lost. Head over heels in love. Three sheets to the wind.
Hey everybody, it's Tom Velasquez, and I am here to tell you that the 7th annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention is coming to the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant, Michigan on Saturday, October 26th and Sunday, October 27th, 2024. The world of the paranormal comes to life in Mid-Michigan for the 7th annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention. Tickets for this event are easy to get. Go to midmichiganparacon2024.com. Simple. Order your tickets. $55 for one day, $100 for a two-day pass. There are so many options to attend this convention. They make it easy for you. So here we go. You're going to have 130 plus different vendors of all kinds. You'll have Michigan's best psychics, Michigan's best mediums, tarot readers, palmists, Reiki healers, and more. You will browse shops containing crystals, oddities, curiosities, paranormal books, art, jewelry, apparel, and merchandise. You will meet local paranormal teams, learn more about ghosts and all things paranormal, including Bigfoot, haunted objects, aliens, cryptids, demonology, ufology, Ouija boards, psychic reading, intuition, witchcraft, tarot, mediums, Michigan lore, and haunted in its haunted histories. You will have private seances, gallery readings, oddities, there'll be all-day speakers, demonstrations, and presentations. There's going to be prizes and giveaways and so much more. But you can't enjoy it unless you go to the 7th Annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention, Saturday, October 26th, Sunday, October 27th, in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
Inescapable, I'm gonna let you down. Should have seen it coming, knew the checks would bounce.
Okay, this next segment is making me very excited. It's been a while since I really got into anything paranormal, especially a listener encounter. I am so excited. So I have a new listener to the show who lives in Michigan, and she had an encounter with the Dogman. So she emailed me her encounter, and a lot of times I get these encounters and I email the people back to try and get more information and I never hear anything from them. This one was different. I was able to email her back, and she contacted me right back. Thank you for reading my story, and I hope I can get it out to the listeners because I want everybody to know. And I said, absolutely, but I need some more information. So we got more information. But here is her email to me. So I don't know if I could use her name. Let's just call her Beth. So Beth, so I just found your show and I really like it. I thought there would be more paranormal, but your political views align with mine, so I'm happy. But I would like more paranormal. Thank you, Beth. That's what everybody says, and that's why I'm putting this on, because I'm trying to get more paranormal involved in the show. But She says, I need to tell you my story. It was in September of 2022 in Rodney, Michigan, which is in between Big Rapids and Mount Pleasant on M20. I was driving early in the morning around 7 a.m. and I saw this huge black wolf cross the road right in front of my car. And when it was crossing, I noticed that this wolf was taking huge strides, and I couldn't believe how huge it was. And once it got to the other side of the road, it stopped, turned its head, and stared at me. I swear I felt it was looking into my eyes, but I really couldn't look away. I was driving about 60 miles an hour, so I was kind of looking at this and keeping one eye on the road, but its face was indescribable. Looking up a face of a wolf online, it didn't look like that. It was completely different. I don't even think we have black wolves in Michigan, Tom. And by all accounts I've looked, I've seen gray wolves, but I don't think we have black wolves. It was so crazy, and I'll never forget this encounter. I was by myself and had a dash cam, but it wasn't on at the time, which I beat myself up about. I swear no one will ever understand me, but I'm hoping that the listeners of this show will. So I read this encounter and immediately got back with her via email. And I just let her know, hey, thanks for the encounter. It sounds terrifying. It bears a striking resemblance to a lot of other dogman encounters I've been sent, but I have a couple questions. So the first question was it on four legs or was it walking upright? And she said it was walking across the road on four legs. Although, as I stated before, the strides were huge, unlike any other wolf, dog, whatever you want to call it, I have ever seen. I asked her, you know, how big was it, would you say? And she said, by my estimations, it had to have been 8 feet long and guessing 4 or 4.5 feet high. It was huge, Tom, and that's what scared me. I've seen wolves. I've seen big dogs. I've never seen anything like this. Then I asked her the big question. Okay, you mentioned that you couldn't describe its face. I mean, give me more details. What did the face look like? And she said, Tom, the only thing I can equate it to is it looked like a dog human face. It had dog features. I mean, it had the ears. It had a snout, but the snout wasn't pronounced like a dog. It was there, but it was kind of, it had human features is the only way I can put it. So we got a little more mundane stuff and, you know, thank you. And I told her I would let my listeners know. And hopefully, I know I've got a ton of Michigan listeners of this show. Hopefully somebody in that area has seen this or had an encounter like this. I kind of tried to, comfort her by telling her you're not alone. I mean, this is a real phenomenon. This is a real cryptid. Some of the first reported sightings of the Michigan Dogman have been in and near Big Rapids. Personally, I believe her. I mean, granted, you can't convey emotion as well as you can talking to somebody, but I can tell she was being sincere. I like to think I'm a pretty good judge of character and people. I can tell when somebody's full of BS and when they're not. I think she saw something. An 8 foot long, 4 foot tall wolf-like creature? Black? I don't know. Now, keep in mind, in September at 7 in the morning, there's light out. So she would have had a pretty good view of this thing. Plus, she probably had lights on. So let me know. We'll call her Beth. Let her know if you've seen anything like this. Let's put her mind at ease. Send me something. Yes, I believe her. Send me your encounter to theparanormalpatriot@yahoo.com. Again, theparanormalpatriot@yahoo.com. So let's move on. Let's go into another paranormal encounter. a UFO sighting, a Michigan air show. They had, I saw the video, and I'm going to post it on my Twitter or X page. To be honest with you, I'm really, truly getting away from Facebook. A, you can't share anything. I can't share anything anymore. They don't like the content of my show. It's a liberal outpost, and it's doing me no good. X is where it's at now. So I'm going to post it. If you want to follow me, the Parapee podcast on X, follow me on that. That's where I'm going to post most of my stuff now. I will post the show on Facebook, but X is where everything's going to really come into fruition. I'm going to post the video. Basically, it looked like it might have been an A-10 Warthog flying around, and it dropped three flares. And in the video, something shoots across the screen. Well, when you slow that down and put it on a still frame, it's a Tic Tac. And for those of you who know ufology, know what a Tic Tac is. For those of you who don't, it's a UFO that looks like a Tic Tac. It is white. It is rounded. It's a round oval. It has no wings, no method of propulsion, no sound. Captured on video. Why is no one talking about this? Why is this being... I mean, in this day and age, and this is why I've always said disclosure is not coming yet. This is it's a diversion. This whole disclosure thing. When's the last time you heard about a UFO disclosure project? It ran its course. I knew nothing was going to happen. If they really wanted to disclose this, that sighting would be on, that'd be the leading story on every newscast. Hey, Michigan Air Show, watch this. What is that? Nobody knows. So lastly, I want to play for you a radio communication between two airlines and the tower. This is over Detroit, Michigan. And this was early to mid-2000s when this happened, but doesn't take away the fact that these guys saw something. And I want you to listen to this audio and tell me what you think it is. Again, theparanormalpatriot at yahoo.com. Listen, we've all been in planes, or most of us have. Have you ever seen anything that you can't explain while you're flying above the clouds? You ever look out there looking for UFOs? I know I do. I've got a trip in 9 days. 9 days as of this recording, I'm leaving. Looking for UFOs. So listen to this. This is Air Shuttle 5959 and another airline talking to Cleveland Tower while in the vicinity of Detroit Metro Airport. Listen to this.
Hey, Cleveland Air Shuttle 5959. We see traffic out there at 12 to 1 o'clock, lower altitude. Do you have one there?
Air Shuttle 5959, that's a negative, sir. I don't have anything out in front of you at 12 to 1 o'clock.
Okay.
He's down well below you, or can you get an estimate on an altitude on him?
Well, it's real difficult. We're in between layers here. I'm just going to estimate him 2,000 feet below us, maybe, and sort of pulsating light about, I don't know, 10 miles down. Hard to tell.
Okay, Air Shuttle 5959, I'll keep my eyes open, but I don't see anything.
That northwest of Detroit, did you see that light? Yeah.
That's the other airliner.
Sometimes flickering underneath the clouds. This is where I saw it.
Air Shuttle 5959, is that traffic that you saw earlier, do you see him out there any longer?
That is Shuttle 5959. That's affirmative, and it's a light that kind of, it goes dim and it gets bright. I don't know if we'll get closer to it or what, but it looks like a rotating light around it, like a frisbee type thing, and it's going around it.
Was that a 3179? Do you see the same thing?
Sir, I saw it coming out of Detroit. I wondered, all I saw was just a couple real bright flashes of light, and it almost looked like lightning, and it caught my eye, and then I kept watching it, and then it looked a little bit less bright, but it looked like it was underneath the cloud deck to me, and this was just as we were coming out of Detroit.
Okay, and can you get an altitude on it at all?
The light that I saw was just like maybe, I don't know, 25 miles northwest of Detroit. Is that what you're referring to, or are you talking about the light that's at our 12 o'clock now, about 10 miles?
any kind of target out near 12 o'clock?
Well, we got some kind of white light out there at 12 o'clock, and the captain says it's pulsating.
Lead on Metro 261.
Looks like oncoming traffic, but it's just sitting about the same place that it's been the whole here for about 10 or 15 minutes. We've been watching it.
Yeah, the air shuttle 50 on 59. It looks like it's almost over Saginaw from opposite.
Okay, air shuttle 5959, contact Saginaw, approach control 126.45. I appreciate the information.
3179, that target looks like it's below us. I would guesstimate maybe 10,000 feet.
Around 10,000 feet. Would you think it might be like a reflection, maybe perhaps off a beacon, that for some reason it's just one of those weird things, natural phenomena, that you're getting a reflection? Because I got nothing out there.
I don't know. I mean, we can see a clear, you know, relatively solid cloud deck below us, and this is definitely a distinct whitish, well, they're just looking a little red and greenish light sort of pulsating, and it is consonant. It's not a beacon. And Cleveland, air shuttle 5959.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hey, just to keep you advised, we're descending to 4,000 feet right now, and as we descended through 10,000 feet, that object is above us right now. It is not on the ground. It's about 10,000 feet.
Okay, sir, we're checking on it right now. I still don't have anything out in front of you at all that I'm showing it. I appreciate you coming back to the frequency and let me know.
I'll keep you advised. I'll tell you what, that is weird. If you're sitting there pulsating.
Sava 3179, where is it relative to you right now?
12 o'clock, sir.
I'm trying to do a little investigating as to what this might be, and if you would keep me advised on this.
Okay, sir, I'm going to blink my lights at him and see if I can get any reaction on him. And 3179, was the other guy that saw that light, was he headed southeastbound, or was he headed the same direction we're going?
Well, he was inbound to Saginaw, and actually, when I sent him over to Saginaw, I expected that would be the last I heard from him. He came back up on the frequency and advised me that his clearance was down to 4,000 now, and that he said what he saw was still up above him and was like a red, he said it was a red and green light that was pulsing and like rotating. And he said he'd keep me advised and give us a report once he got into Saginaw. You don't have a camera on board, do you?
We could probably get one from a passenger. You want us to ask?
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting to have a couple pictures. I think it might make our case a little better.
Okay. 3179, we got a passenger taking a picture of it right now. And, we got a flight attendant who says that they might have saw the same thing the other night.
Masaba 3179, I copy that. Masaba 3179, when you flashed your lights, did you get any response?
Didn't appear to, sir.
Okay. Okay, Masaba 3179, I'm going to send you over to Minneapolis now, sir. Is it still out here 12 o'clock?
Negative, sir. It's at about our 2 o'clock now. We made a turn.
Okay, so it's off your right side about 2 o'clock. I'd sure be interested to see those pictures. Can I get you an address that you might be able to send a copy if you guys get the copy of them?
Yeah, sure, we can do that. And actually, we made a right turn, and he's off about 10 to 11 o'clock.
Okay, so he's off your left side. Okay.
Okay, 32-9, we'll see. I wonder if those pictures will show anything. All right, Cleveland, Masaba 3179.
Masaba 3179, go ahead.
Just for your information, I took the picture of the captain on the left side. I also took a trick, take some of the stars above. So the lowest light on those pictures, that only single light at the bottom of the picture should be the what you're looking at. And you might be able to get a position with the star if you want to go that far.
Okay, great. That's a good idea. I appreciate that.
Of course, I've seen the picture of Kama, there was an automatic camera. Good night, sir.
Good night.
That was amazing. First off, they mentioned Saginaw. I grew up not far from the airport in Saginaw, so I know that area well. But this is something that was witnessed and corroborated by two separate aircraft. They're telling the tower, there's something there, and the tower's like, there's nothing here. Can you imagine being the passenger on that plane saying, hey, can I borrow your camera? There's a UFO outside. We need to get a picture of that. I mean, really, what would you think? I mean, obviously that was in the air. What is going to be in the air at 10,000 feet doing that? And keep in mind that these pilots, they are very, very well trained to observe. They know what they've seen. They fly every day. They're in the air all the time. This struck them as odd, and there's something to say for that. So let me know what you think of that, theparanormalpatriot@yahoo.com. Again, theparanormalpatriot@yahoo.com. Okay, so we're going to end the show with two stories, one from Russia, one from Canada. Two totally different things are happening, but kind of not totally different things. First one is Russia. As of Saturday, yesterday, Russian military and Russian police are going door to door finding any illegal immigrants in that country and deporting them. Right then and there, listen to this.
Russia reportedly carrying out these mass deportations of migrants on multiple locations. Here, check out this. So here's a bunch of different locations going into the airports here. You can see the military rounding these individuals up, keeping them in a single file line, making sure they're going through the proper channels, and then they're being flown out of here, flown out of Russia. Hit the road, Jack.
So my question and your question, why? Why right now is Russia rounding up all the illegals and deporting them? One answer. Russia's getting ready for war. And they don't want anybody in their country that could cause them harm, aka a terrorist. So I really think that we have a war coming to our doorstep. But with that being said, right now in Niger, in Russia, I think that, or I'm sorry, in Africa, I think that's how you say it, Niger, N-I-G-E-R. The Americans and the Russians are jointly on a base. And there's videos circulating of American and Russian soldiers, men and women, dancing and having fun together. And it just reiterates my point. We don't hate each other. We are being told who to hate. I don't have anything against the Russian people. I don't have anything against the Iranian people or anything like that. Our government does, or they tell us that they do, and it's just stirring the pot. I can't cook. I don't cook well, but I know how to stir a pot. And that's what our governments are doing. They're telling us who to like, who not to like. They're telling us that Russians are our enemy. Are they? Because right now, I think the biggest threat to my existence is my government. I don't have anything against the Russians. Listen, you've all heard the story of World War II or World War I in the trenches. Christmas Eve, they stopped fighting. The Germans, the Americans, all met in the middle of the battlefield and were playing soccer and trading baseball cards and cigarettes and having a great time. And the generals and the lieutenants saw this and they're like, no, you go. That's your enemy. You get back to the front line and kill them. That's not what we're about. I don't want to kill anybody, especially another person that doesn't want to kill me. But we're being told. We're being told what we should do, how we should feel. And people are just buying it lock, stock, and barrel. So that brings us to Canada. Ooh, Canada, man, I don't envy you, any of you that live in Canada right now. Canada right now and Justin Trudeau make America look like a bastion of freedom. But this is from Truth Seeker on X. And it basically says the Canadian Armed Forces are going door to door in, I believe it was Southeast or Southwest Ontario, they'll tell you in the clip. Doing a wellness check. And it's a 4-minute clip. I want you to hear it. It may not go 4 minutes, but I'll stop it if I have to. But I really think you need to hear this. And any of my Canadian listeners, especially Ontario, because I have a huge contingent of Ontario listeners, let me know if this is actually happening. I don't see why this would be posted as a lie, but let me know if you've run into this and what do you think? Listen to this.
Did you guys hear that the Canadian Armed Forces are doing a door-to-door wellness check exercise called Trillium Ventures? And they are going door-to-door in smaller communities in Northern Ontario, including the local police that are helping them. And they're basically asking, how are you doing? And are you prepared in case of a giant emergency? They are also giving out brochures of everything that you should have in case of an emergency and to be ready, because emergency preparedness starts with you. This article from True North Wire is stating that the Canadian Armed Forces will be part of an extreme heat scenario exercise in communities throughout the Huron County, Ontario. The exercise, called Trillium Venture, will take place from May 3rd to 5th. And according to the OPP, the Ontario Police Department, press release, the purpose of the exercise is to enhance an interoperability with the governmental departments as they work together to respond to a simulated extreme heat scenario. My first question is what is an extreme heat scenario? Are you talking temperatures? Or are we talking about maybe an attack or a simulated attack? Because we all know the World Economic Forum likes to, like, you know, predict everything that's going to happen with a lot of accuracy for the future. But Desi Media went up there and interviewed individual Canadian military force personnel. And one said that this is an annual exercise that they've done almost every year. However, when I looked into it, there was nothing online about a wellness door-to-door check being done by the police and the Canadian Armed Forces. And I even talked to an ex-military personnel who said he's never heard of it either.
So, extreme heat situation? I mean, are we actually talking about heat? Like weather heat? Are we talking about heat from a nuclear blast or a big bomb? What are we talking? I mean, we know the government is manipulating the weather. Look at Dubai. Desert. Flooded. Catastrophic flooding. Brazil. Catastrophic flooding. We know our government is controlling the weather. Do they plan on having an extreme heat situation? I mean, why? Are we getting prepared for war? I mean, here in America, I constantly am seeing commercials by, it's not FEMA, it's gov.com. It's a government website, and basically saying what, you know, you need to be prepared. You need to have a plan in case of an emergency. What emergency are we talking about? We all know that if our government is talking about it, it's probably going to happen. And that's what scares me. I think we are on the precipice of war. That your sons, your daughters, your nieces, your nephews, your mothers, your fathers, your aunts, your uncles are going to be sent to against their will to die for a purpose that we do not stand for. It's only to increase the power and financial stability of those in charge. Simple as that. It's how it's been. It's how it will be until we decide to fight back. Again, all these politicians that are voting to go to war, that are telling us that we need to go to war, we need to stop Russia, we need to stop Israel, we need to stop Gaza. Okay, fine. Send your close personal family on the front lines first. See how quickly that rhetoric stops. So what do you think? Are we being prepped for war? Well, I kind of think so. I think if the government's talking about it, it's probably going to happen. Let me know what you think. Contact me at theparanormalpatriot@yahoo.com. Again, theparanormalpatriot@yahoo.com. All right, everybody, that'll be it for the show this week. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I think I'll have one more. Yes, I plan on doing a show next week. The show after that, I won't be here. I won't be around. So I will be missing. It'll be, I think, the 18th week or the week of the 19th show will not happen. So get all of this in as you can. So thank you for listening. I appreciate everything. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll talk to you next week.